You're listening to Broad Topics, four diverse women, one big topic, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we are back for the second hour of Broad Topics right here on LATalkRadio.com. I'm Laura Nickerson, joined in studio by Joan Rizza and Megan Sewell. And now there are men amongst us. The movie
I do
guys.
Declare.
I do yeah. declare I shall have the vapors. We have our movie guys here, Adam Witt. Welcome, Adam Witt.
Welcome. Hey, hello.
Thanks
Good to see you.
Thanks for joining us. And, of course, Paul Preston is back. Paul, what's up?
Hello, hello.
Hi. Guess what? There are these things called movies.
Yes, light projected through celluloid or digital projections onto a screen.
What?
Wow.
What is this of which you speak?
Throw down the nerd card right off the bat. Welcome to the show, movie guys. Tell us what's going on in the world of movies this weekend.
Well, as ever, we should talk about what people are seeing. So let's go to the top five in the box office. Holding on, as ever, Bridesmaids. Number five at the box office.
Woo-hoo! Rocket, ladies.
Always good to see the comedy doing well. And sticking around longer than Thor or other movies that came out after it.
Did you see it?
I still haven't seen it. Here's the deal. My wife is doing a musical right now at the Downey Civic Light Opera. It's called Funny Girl. There's a plug. And she has been in a rigorous rehearsal schedule. When she's done, we're going. I got to save that movie for the wife. You know.
Are you because a guy can't walk in by himself to a chick flick like that?
A guy can, but a guy's being nice to his wife.
I walk into chick flicks all the time by myself. I went to Thor. I went to X-Men. I mean, that's fine, right?
You are a woman, hear you roar.
Yeah. I mean, there's women in X-Men. Definitely. They change into different shapes and stuff like that.
Yeah, they wear revealing stuff. I mean, they're there.
Yeah. Totally.
I'm sure they're blue, but they're hot.
Oh, my goodness.
have you seen Bridesmaid?
Yes, I have, actually. We talked about it last time Paul was here because I enjoyed the movie.
Yeah. I have not yet.
I'm prepared to enjoy the movie. I'll see it. But instead I went to see Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, which I regret. That's our number four movie in the top five box office. If you've seen the Raiders of the Lost Ark movies, you've seen Pirates of the Caribbean. It's just dressed like a pirate this time. The whole, hey, we're going to get you to go on a quest, up to the ending with the way people, major characters, die, to the way the special effects are done. It's a lot of reflections of those movies, and it's not often the best parts of the Indiana Jones trilogy.
Oh, it's
with
like
an
the Shia LaBeouf
that we don't mention.
Now, how are the songs in Pirates 4?
The songs?
I thought it's directed by Rob Marshall, right?
Oh, right, exactly.
The director of
Chicago and Nine.
Yeah.
Well, there's the I am the Pirate King. This is a big one.
Okay.
You know
Does
that?
Johnny pull that off?
Yeah. He was Sweeney Todd. He pulls it off. I am a very model.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, you know. With Marshall at the helm, it's gonna get that way. Number three, Kung Fu Panda 2, which you saw, right, Laura?
I have not seen it yet.
I thought you did get it. No?
Okay, a tragedy has happened.
What?
My husband took my children to see it without me.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Foul. I know. Family foul. Chick, chick.
Currying favor.
Mm-hmm. So I haven't seen it. Do tell.
Have you guys seen it?
No, I have not. Does it have martial arts in it? Because I won't see a movie without martial arts.
It does. And it's another huge, sprawling Chinese epic featuring the Chinese voice talents of Angelina Jolie, David Cross, Jack Black, and Seth Rogen.
Thank God.
It's good to see that diversity coming into play in animation.
Huge and sprawling. I thought you were about to describe Jack Black.
Whoa.
The Hangover Part 2, that is number 2 at the box office. Huge hit. Monstrous hit.
Amazing.
Monstrous. We differ on this one, Adam and I.
Yeah, tell me.
Loved it. Yeah. I've people around me loved it.
I think I got off to a really good start because the movie literally begins like the first one does, which is everybody's complaint. But of course, that's what we all go to sequels for. And yet we want them to be different, you know. But I just once it set that tone that it was just going to do that and it was the same characters. I don't know. I was really along for the ride. I was one of the few people laughing at the whole theater. It was like opening weekend.
See, I just the opposite. I was sitting there not laughing, wanting to, wondering why I wasn't. Everyone around me was howling. I think Zach Galifianakis just does bizarre things just for the sake of them being bizarre in the movie.
Yeah, that still has mileage with me, though. I could still watch him do that for a while.
Yeah.
Paul, I have to say that I'm impressed with two things right now.
Yeah.
First of all, that you pronounced the word Galifianakis, whatever his name is.
And you didn't.
So, and I did not, yes. Exactly. And second of all, I'm giving you a little bit of pride on the fact that you were probably the only sober person at the screening of The Hangover 2, and that's why you didn't laugh while everyone else did.
Maybe that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe that's
it. I don't know. I find them so charming. I found them so charming the first time, and I want them to be so charming that I might go with you on this and just enjoy the ride again, just as a pure, like, we're just going to do it again slightly different.
That film knows where its bread is buttered. It just delivers you what you like from the first one again.
The problem with the audience full of drunk people, though, is that they don't remember it the next morning.
That more ticket sales.
Number one was X-Men First Class. And
really?
Being movie guys, we're very excited to see this movie at the top of the box office. Very excited. X-Men. I mean, this is just good stuff all around for action fans. They wanted to call it X-Men Origins Everyone But Wolverine because it covers a cast of like 100,000 teenagers first joining Charles Xavier's Academy.
But, you know, if you are flying X-Men coach, don't worry about it. It's an origin story. It tells you how the whole thing came together from the very beginning. Oddly arising from an Amway seminar. That was surprising to me.
And great new casting as well. Michael Fassbender comes in, who was great in Inglourious Basterds. He plays Magneto, picking up the baton from Ian McKellen. Magneto, of course, having the power to change soft E's to hard E's in the word magnet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, but he's great, and you know, I see a huge. He's gonna be a huge star.
And it's got, you know, they've traded out now Professor X is getting younger because that is how he actually wins over the X-Men, is with his long flowing hair. That's one of his original powers. I don't know if you know that. Anyway,
we didn't spend quite the amount of time the comics as you boys tend to.
But certainly, you know, Patrick Stewart from the original.
Baldy Locks? Yeah.
Baldy Locks. I mean, he's well revered outside of just his comic book movies. You know, his Star Trek movies, too.
Hey, nerd alert. Hey. Wow, you guys lost me like 5 minutes ago.
Kevin Bacon.
This is when we start looking at your eyes.
Yeah. And we'll bring it back with Kevin Bacon, right?
Please, God, like, bring it back with
Kevin
Bacon.
One of the most talented of the Bacon Brothers band, I think. The best guitarist they have.
Plays a mutant in this film who has the special ability of connecting himself to Dolly Parton through Tom Hanks and Dabney Coleman in only 4 moves.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kind of exciting.
But did you guys like it? Because I heard some before the opening, some comic boys going, no.
I think it's definitely, for a comic boy, as a comic boy myself, it definitely played like a great issue of the comic. You know, it's like, I mean, they have this big adventure. You know, they're stopping. It's not really a purse-snatching type movie. The X-Men always play pretty big, and they stop the Cuban Missile Crisis in this one.
Oh, well, that's nice.
I did not know they were the ones who did that.
Did you not? Well, we should have read the books, Megan.
Yeah.
It's an alternate
history.
Okay,
I'm glad to hear that, because I'll probably be dragged to it.
Okay. Bring them over and have them attack something else, like global warming.
Yeah.
There you go. There's the Iceman, I believe.
Handy.
He
would stop global warming.
Yeah.
No doubt. And coming up, another huge weekend we're excited about. I think what could be potentially one of the best movies of the year, Super 8,
mm-hmm.
coming out, directed by J.J. Abrams, produced by Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
What Adam calls J.J. Abrams, the current Spielberg, teaming up with the last generation Spielberg.
Yes.
Spielberg.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're kind of bringing this, what it looks like from the trailer, they're bringing this sort of like, you know, classic Spielberg sort of wonderment back to the screen, because Spielberg obviously had no interest in doing that himself, but so he teamed up with J.J. Abrams to try and pull that off.
Right. It is weird, because Steven Spielberg has a look the way that Capra has a feel. You know, it's that when I see the previews, that's what I can see from it, although I have no idea what the film is about from the previews, which is refreshing.
Well, Megan, let me tell you what it's about. Yeah. It is about the 8-track cassette tape. And where did it go? And what happened to it? Did you not hear that? Or maybe also about the 8mm film that we used to use to do home movies in the 70s.
Oh, I thought the X-Men did that.
Oh, they did.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I heard it did have a tie-in with the old 8-tracks, because halfway through the movie, it starts replaying part of the first half of the movie again and switches sides. There you go.
And think about the last time you really wanted to see a movie that you didn't know anything about.
Yeah.
I know.
It's a trick that the Hollywood fails at routinely, because
they
give you the whole movie nervously. You know, they want you to make sure that your money is well spent, instead of giving you a little mystery and then making you want to come in with that.
The only thing that modern previews do is make me angry when there's a line in the preview that is not in the film.
Ah, yeah.
That's the only thing that happens to me now, because they always ruin the film for me. So the only joy I have is, wow, I love that one part of the preview, and then I wait the whole film for it and it's not in there.
That's an odd thing that's happening with this new movie, Bad Teacher. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
With Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
There is a red band, which is a dirty trailer. And then there's a green band trailer, which is for all audiences. And both have different takes in them of the same scenes, where they said a swear word in one and he didn't say a swear word in the other. So they really shot 2 movies just to sell the one.
I smell a director's cut coming.
Yeah,
I smell some big video resales.
Unfortunately, the director's cut would be the nice one without any of the dirty stuff in it.
Well, what is it? The unrated cut.
Yes.
You know how they do the like American Pie this time without the MPAA involved.
Super thick crust.
Yeah.
That's... Speaking of Super 8, yeah, I think that's what my grandpa used to watch adult films on.
Yeah.
This could be a whole different film. I don't know.
Yeah. They look a little young. I'm disturbed already.
I can't believe you just threw your grandpa up the river like that. Way to throw him.
Well,
that sounded dirty somehow when you said that, Laura.
Thanks.
Threw him up the river.
Although I have to say, I mean, you really have to be the two biggest talents in movie making today to try and pass off "we don't know either" as the catchphrase to a movie named after an awful hotel chain, you know?
That's true. That's true.
We don't know what the plot is.
Will the light be on?
But no, I'm Spielberg.
Have fun.
I'm Spielberg. You trust me.
Yeah.
You like lens flares. I'm J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got 2 hours to wrap it up instead of 7 lost-ish seasons.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So, what?
No. I'm still sad. I'm in mourning over Lost being over, so don't take me
there. It was
over
in season 3.
What an ironic name for a show that everyone complained about not knowing what was going on about. Go see Lost. I'm lost, but it's great.
I'm surprised by the title. I didn't believe I'd be so lost, but I am.
Mm-hmm. I mean, truth in advertising, you can't complain after calling it Lost, right?
Exactly.
That's true.
There is counter-programming that day, though. Judy Moody and the Not Bummer Summer is a film.
I saw a poster for that, and it sounds like really 10-year-old girl fun to me.
It looks
is
like
it?
That.
Probably.
It looks like that.
It's fun.
It looks like that Nickelodeon movie that I've never seen but have theorized. I think that's
it. Looks like
that's
that.
It. Yeah, it looks like that.
But I got to say, I loved those when I was a kid.
Okay, well, we'll go together, Megan.
Okay, that'd be fun.
Well, that's definitely...
And not bring your husband.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like torture.
It's going to hurt him bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's based on the Oprah Book Club selection. The last one she put out there before she left the show.
Judy Moody and the Not Bummer Summer. That's what she ended her entire reign with?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's a coming-of-age movie about kids who come of whatever age it is that annoys people like Adam and myself.
Yeah. But you can also get a diet journal with it, and you can write down your feelings about food.
Okay. All right.
That's what Oprah liked about it.
Hopefully, as long as the kids are somewhere in the South being molested, I'm happy.
Wow.
Because that's the Oprah book story.
Oh, that's true.
There's got to be some sort of torture and pain for women and children, aren't they? Like for these uplifting movies.
In the South.
They don't have it well. They don't have it good.
Depression, the movie.
Oprah Presents.
Oprah Depression. Presents Depression, based on the book.
But the novel pushed by Sapphire.
Oy.
So that's what's coming out. Good stuff for your macho summer crowd and your kids, if you like kids.
And people who are just a fan of old formats, like Super 8. Which I hear is the prequel to 1985's VHS. Anyway.
No, it could be the summer movie of the year if it had cowboys and Harrison Ford in it. So we're
we'll see what we can do. Movie Guys, how do people find your full reviews online?
Well,
themovieguys.net. You can go there for reviews and comedy and find links to Facebook and Twitter where we post funny stuff every day.
Excellent.
And our podcast is on there as well and can be found through YouTube where we preview movies every week.
Love that podcast.
Excellent. And we're going to have you back in a couple weeks, yes?
Cool.
Hey, I hear there'll be more movies out, so we'll be here.
Yeah.
You
got to
shake down
these
summer
movies. Wherever there's movies, we'll be there.
We'll be there. Well, thank you to Adam Witt, Paul Preston from The Movie Guys. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll catch you next time. Everyone else, we're going to take a quick commercial break and be right back in a couple minutes here on Broad Topics.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio.